Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered, impermeable, I'm the people's champ, Obama, and you don't understand, Melania. Permeable, unbothered, sick, allergic to the con artist, fake woke, an imposter, only real ones up in my roster, like Junior C, that's my roster, you know, I just been bossed up, I've been high, my shit been fucked up, I've been high, my shit been cut.
I know, it's been forever.
Yeah, I think it's been like a month.
Yeah, because we didn't do last week or the week before. Yeah, it's been like a month. Jeez.
How has it been so long? Because we didn't do the show. Oh, yeah, the last time was the 22nd. All right.
Oh, we're back on the
right. Right. Oh, it feels like it was just yesterday. Oh man. Well, I mean, it's been a month worth of stuff, so guess we'll have a lot to talk about tonight.
Yep, got a lot of hot topics.
Yeah.
So how have you been?
Not bad.
Since the last time I saw you, which was a few days ago.
Oh, Saturday. Oh, Daddy's birthday.
Oh yeah.
I was really he apparently stepped away from his phone, so he'll be on in a couple of minutes.
Oh well, excuse me.
But it was his birthday. We was partying it up.
Yeah. That cake was good too. Them cupcakes were good.
Oh man, I didn't get a cupcake.
What?
Oh, I didn't want a cupcake. Got it. I didn't want a cupcake.
Nah, the cupcakes look good. I crushed them cupcakes.
They look good, but I don't even know why I didn't want one at the moment. I think I was just looking forward to the cake. Which I found out had fruit in it, so. The cake was so good. The icing was so good. You didn't see fruit in the cake?
No, I didn't have fruit in the cupcake.
Oh, I was going to say, how many mimosas did you have?
It was only two. You know, keep it light.
Oh, boy. Well, if anybody follows us at Discussions in the Black Room on Instagram, you will see that today we talk about my least favorite topic. I think it's one of the stupidest things that was ever given a name. Unfortunately, it is something that we have taken on and we believe is the right way to treat people, which is cancel culture. And for anybody that doesn't know what cancel culture is, I'm going to give you an example.
I had to ask what that was because I was like, I've never heard of that before.
That's interesting. You are antisocial, so...
Cancel
culture is like when Kanye West said, what is that sound? I hear an echo. Okay, cancel culture is when Kanye West said, okay, that echo is driving me crazy. What is that echo?
I don't know.
Hello? Anyway, hopefully, let's see if we can... Okay, there is an echo. It's gone now. All right, it's gone now. Cancel culture. And I don't even think it had a name. And I think somebody just started calling it out of nowhere. Cancel culture basically is when they started sounded, from what I understand it to be, it's like when Kanye West said that slavery was a choice. And what ended up happening was nobody listened to the interview. Nobody listened to what he said in its entirety. Everybody just saw the headline, saw the, what's it called when you put a blurb as the title of something to make clickbait. It's like people put clickbait. So it was like Kanye West said slavery was a choice. Nobody listened to what he said. And then they decided to cancel him after based on the clickbait title that the media put out.
Yeah.
And what's dangerous about... Huh?
No, I said that's usually how it goes. People don't care about the story. They just, you know, look at the headline and they go with it. They run with it and they make a story out of it.
Listen, I'm gonna do a whole lot of Charlemagne references tonight, because one thing that he said that is absolutely true, why believe the truth when the lies are more entertaining? And that's when we base our judgment of other people on the lie that's more entertaining. Because what Kanye West said was that 400 years of slavery is a choice. Not slavery itself, but right now, if you're in a state of mental enslavement, which majority of the black people in the community are in a form, even if you're on the outside of it, you still believe that mental slavery is a thing. So as long as you believe that it's a thing, it's a thing. The fact that we believe it and the fact that we participate in it is what makes it a choice. Now, he may have said some shady things before and after, and some great things before and after, but they took that perspective and they made it into something that it wasn't. And it's been done often, even with the thing that happened with Jussie. None of us, as much as we, most of us believe that it's not true, all the facts point to not being true, we had canceled him before we even heard, before anything. Well, and I'm not going to say my opinion on why we killed him, but anyway, TMZ came out with information that had nothing to do with what he actually said. TMZ came out with a story saying that they were wearing MAGA hats, and they were yelling this, and they were saying things. He came out and did a concert a couple of days later and said, I never said this, this never happened, but we still canceled him based off of what TMZ said. And what I'm saying is not to show whether he's lying or whether he's telling the truth. My point is to say we canceled him before we even gave him a chance. The court of public opinion makes you guilty no matter what, no matter the situation, you're already guilty. This is like right now, I think T.I. is on trial. That's one of the things that we were talking about. We can talk about T.I. is on trial on the court of public opinion because he said that she's 18 now, but he started, I think, when she was 16, and he takes her to the gynecologist, and he makes sure that her hymen is still in place because he believes that that is the way that you test of whether or not somebody is still a virgin. Now,
why does that matter to the masses? Like, if that's his child, if he, you know, if that's what he chooses to do, you know, whether I agree with it or not, what he chooses to do should not be on trial for what other people have to say, because it's not other people's lives.
That is my point. A lot of people, and I've had this discussion before, a lot of people feel like they should judge him based off of what he does. First of all, one of my opinions is that there's a lot of people, and there's a lot of women that wish that their father would have done stuff like that for them. Like there's a lot of people that their father was not involved at all. So the fact that he's so involved seems foreign to most of us, because a lot of us did not have a father. Like I never realized growing up, and I'm sure you never realized either, how rare it was to have a father and a mother together in the house raising a child. Like, I thought that was normal because that's what we had.
Every day. Remember, Daddy used to be like, put your hands where my eyes could see.
Every day.
And like, that was the door.
That was the way that it was. a woman. She should have rights to her. But first of all, 16-year-olds make bad decisions. And I'm not saying that what he did was right. I'm not saying what he did was normal. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is he's famous. Little boys are going to have to their way with his daughter because that's T.I.'s daughter. He has to go through extra precautions to protect her. And in his mind, anybody that watches him with his family knows how much of a family man he is. I'm surprised. Like, Daddy, because I'm surprised you're surprised. Like, I am surprised that people are surprised at T.I. doing this with his daughter. Especially when he sees the way that some of the young ladies are around his daughter. You're going to go a little stir crazy. And in addition to that, and I know I'm monopolizing the conversation. In addition to that, if you are not a man, and I'm going to say man, but in my head, I'm thinking black man. If you are not a black man with a daughter, I don't think you have a right to speak on this. The same way women don't think that men have a right to speak on abortion, women don't have a right to speak on this because they have no idea how it feels to be a man who loves his child and has a daughter. I wish that daddy was on this phone call. I don't think that anybody that is not a man in our community, a black man that takes care and loves his daughter, I don't think you have it. If you're going to ask men not to have a conversation about abortion and things like that,
But that's the thing, like, we have to stop saying that people can't have conversations because the point of a conversation is to have a back and forth. It's not always to agree with what's going on, but to take from the conversation something that they may not have realized would have occurred. Now, men have a point of view and women have a point of view when it comes to different things that relate to, you know, the respective, you know, sex. So it's like, you know, we can have conversations about it, whether or not we can, you know, decide upon certain situations, like how, you know, with the whole abortion, men are deciding how women are going to, you know, use their body. Now, that's a totally different conversation. But if you're just going to have a conversation in regards to a situation, like a conversation, you know, allows people to express themselves and express their opinions and how they feel and, you know, what can somebody say to change, not to change me, but to make me think, because that's the whole point of conversation.
But if it was just to make you think, that would be one thing. But within the realm of cancel culture, these people are saying that he is wrong for what he's doing. And what's worse is they're saying that, oh my God, she's a woman. She has a right to make decisions on her body. And it's not, they're saying if she wants to have sex, she should be able to have sex. She is 16 years old. This is not even a conversation that should be happening. But because of the world we live in, this is a conversation that we have to have. And he, even if he is doing it in an extreme, crazy way, and I say crazy just because that's the word I'm using, but he is doing it in an extreme way, but he's still trying to protect his daughter. And that's the thing that I don't think that people understand, because people are having this conversation like he's doing it to Tiny. If he was doing that to Tiny, then okay, sir, you need to have a seat. He's doing this to his 16-year-old daughter. It's not like people literally are saying she should be able to have sex if she wants to and do whatever she wants with her body. And she is a 16-year-old child. But if he was letting her run the streets, it'd be like, why are you letting your daughter be a hoe? Everybody has an opinion. And the reason why I say that we should be able to have the conversation, because we're having the conversation now. But when it has to do with a concrete opinion where you're judging T.I., the only people that can judge him are men that take care of their daughters. Women can't judge him. Women have no idea how it feels to be a father of a daughter.
Nobody can judge him in general, though. Like, we got to stop judging one another, because everybody, everybody has their own experiences. And you know, T.I., the reason that, you got to look at it from a psychological standpoint. The reason that he's doing that is because he knows what he did when he was her age. So in his mind, in a psychological aspect of it, he's doing this because he knew, just like individuals who point the finger and, you know, always like saying, oh, you did this, you do that, are the ones that are guilty at the end of the day. So it's like he knows what he did at her age, and he's trying to, you know, I guess prevent her or stop her, or he feels guilty for what he's done, because he's been in the news for the past couple of years for everything that he's been doing in his infidelities, alleged infidelities and everything. So, you know, in his mind, he's probably, you know, he's probably harping on that situation because he feels guilty for everything that he's done towards women.
Which is why I'm saying that he's doing it in an extreme way, but he's still trying to protect his daughter because he knows how men are. Because only a man would know how men are. That's why only a father would know how it is to be with their daughter. Daddy is the only person in this conversation that can speak concretely about how it feels to be a black man with a daughter. He has two of them.
But then you got to look at it like this. Okay, now where does this conversation go? Like, honestly, like, this conversation should be had with teenage daughters around the world and their fathers.
Of course.
And just the families in general, because you really want to have this sort of conversation, because at the end of the day, the point of him doing this was because, you know, and I haven't been up to par with, you know, his responses and everything. I'm not too sure
how he responded. He's going to be on Red Table Talk with Jada Pinkett on Monday.
Yeah, and that's what I get out of these sort of situations, and that's what I get out of these conversations, is not the action, but the reason behind the action. Because he may be having another thought process in his mind, you know, that we're not even considering or we're not even thinking of. He may be doing this for X, Y, and Z, and we don't know, and we're prejudging. And that's what we do as a society today, is we're so quick to come to a conclusion or a judgment, or you know, we're so quick to say, to paint the whole picture. Well, we don't even know what color. We don't even know what paint. We don't even know if it's oil. We don't know if it's, you know, what canvas. We have to stop doing that. We have to have these sort of conversations and practice having conversations as opposed to just saying this is the situation, because we don't know. None of us knows. And like you were saying, none of us knows how it is to be in his shoes. So we have to first hear him, and then we got to stop with all of this cancel. Like this is like Mean Girls sort of situation. We're canceling people, like, oh, don't talk to them, don't look at them. Like, no, we got to stop with that, because white people don't do that to one another. Asian people don't do that to one another. Black people are the only people that do that to one another, about trying to cancel somebody. Oh, don't talk to them. No, we have to stop doing that, because then we isolate people, and then that forces them to then retreat or lie, cheat, or steal, because they don't feel comfortable coming out in their truth. You know, T.I. was strong to be able to come out and say this, because it's obviously there's something bothering him inside. And I know I'm probably, you know, analyzing the situation, and people tell me I'm a social worker at all times. But that's just how you have to look at certain situations, because, you know, there's a reason that he did what he did, and there's a reason he came out and said that. Because, we don't know, because we're not celebrities, but celebrities do not, they have to run everything past somebody. So there's a reason that he's coming out and saying this, and there's a reason that he's doing what he's doing. And we have to look at him. We have to look at the daughter. How is the daughter responding? What does she have to say about this? How does she feel about that? Because, you know, this may be the protective factor that may make her feel good. You know, how many men go to women appointments? Or appointments with, you know, their daughters and stuff like that. Like, we have to realize that, you know, we got to get the whole picture before we start jumping to conclusions. And even at that point, it's not our business. It's not our business.
But once he says it, I see Daddy's on. You came just in time for the conversation.
Hello,
hi,
family.
Daddy.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I am doing excellent. Everything is all right.
The birthday
boy.
How about with you? I ran into Uptown Juice Bar up here on 125th Street, and I ran into some people, and I lost track of time. So here I am.
I'm not surprised.
Oh my goodness gracious! Uptown Juice Bar. Oh my goodness! What a place to go. Got good food. I think I brought y'all up here at from time to time.
Oh yeah, you got me some food.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got
I'm
it.
Hungry.
Yeah, some vegetarian chicken strip.
Just
some
drop it at my house.
Chunk.
Just drop it at my house.
It's good.
We were talking about T.I. Did you hear that story about what happened with him and his daughter?
In terms of checking to make sure that she is not engaged Okay.
Uh-huh. Yep, that one. One of the things that I was saying is that I think that's very hard. Like, you can have an opinion, but it's very hard to really understand how it feels unless you're a father. In our case, in particular, a black man that loves and cares for his daughter and wants to make sure that she's all right, especially because he is famous and he knows what he's capable of doing and what people will do to say that they had relations with T.I.'s daughter. So I feel like you are one of the best people to give an opinion on being a father and a black man with a daughter daughters that he cares very much about.
Well, I cannot. Everybody has their own way of being a father and a mother. I appreciate the fact that the brother is a father. But even when it came to you all, it's a matter of, for me, I'm speaking about me, Kaba, as your father. I have to trust you. And
that's a good point.
But I just had to trust you. I had to trust that you knew what you were doing. In the world
that
we're living in today, there is so many different codes out here that people are living by. And my thing is that I have to trust you. And so if I were concerned about whether or not you were engaged in physical activities, my bottom line would be to ask you. And I would trust you.
That's a good point.
And if you said to me, Daddy, I'm not engaged in any relationship, it's up to me to trust you, to believe you, and not to put you through a test that I believe is invasive, and I also think it's rather sexy. Because how do you check a brother? I mean, how can you take your son to find out if he's engaged in a relationship?
But, you know,
and would
you care? I think that... But the problem is that it would be an ideal world if a woman could do the same thing as a man and get treated the same. But in the world that we live in, no matter how much we believe that women should be treated equally, that's not how you're going to be seen. So I think that as a father, he did not want her to be seen in any way. Because even if she's 16 and has relations with one person, she'll be labeled as an HOE or some other word. Like, she'll be labeled as that. And in the world that we live in, unfortunately, we have to acknowledge it's not right. But that's the way that she will get treated if she engages in activity. And I'm not saying that it's right, but I think that in his mind, he believed that he was protecting her from being treated that way. Because men are praised, and this is another conversation, men are praised by how many women they're with. And women it's disappointing when a woman has been with someone before she gets married. And it's not fair because it's not right because you're sharing the same type of energy. And if all of these men are doing it and no women are doing it, who are they doing it with? So I really think that he was trying to avoid her from being one of those girls. And it's not right. And women as men, but they're not, we have not come to the point in this society where it is treated the same way. And while there are women that are making strides, make it that way. He didn't want his daughter, in my opinion, He didn't want his daughter to be a test case study of how you can make it so that women and men are treated the same when they're involved physically with another person.
Well, to me, you have to trust him. And, you know, if he said that he asked her frequently, that would be one thing. But if you didn't ask her, you should have. If you wanted to teach her, you should have. But if you asked her and she told you no, you should have trusted her. And the fact that you sent her to the doctor, to me, means that you have taken honesty away from her and not allowed her to extend to you her honesty. And I don't follow T.I.'s music that much, so I don't know. But I would imagine, considering maybe he's guilty because of the kind of music and stuff that he put on his record. Would that be correct?
It is accurate.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier, because he's been a lot in the news because of his infidelities and how he's been treating women and how, you know, he's been portrayed in the media. So I said, from a psychological standpoint, you know, he could be looking at this because he knew how it was and he knew what he was doing at that age and he knows what he's doing as a man. So he could be projecting that onto his daughter in a sense that he's, you know, he's concerned or he's nervous that she's doing that or another man is doing this to his daughter. So there can be a lot of different things that are going on, and we can analyze this in many different ways. But we have to realize that, you know, we have to let these people talk, and we have to talk about these sort of things, because from this, you got to take the best and leave the rest. From this, you got to have these sort of conversations and be open and honest, because a lot of times, especially in our community, we're afraid to talk about sex, and we're afraid to talk about, you know, what you should do, what you should not do. But then we have so many people that are, you know, teenage pregnancies and teenage, you know, mothers and fathers and broken families and the grandparents raising the children, and there's so many different factors that come from just, you know, this topic of sex.
But in addition to that, there's things that abusive that happen from other members of families. There's human trafficking and all the black little girls that are disappearing all over the United States. Like, there's literally, we don't talk about things like this. We make it seem like if you talk about it, it's a bad thing, but that's why all these things are happening. And the world is getting more sexualized, but it's also getting more sensitive. Like, it makes no sense how insensitive and sensitive everybody is at the same time. And that's where cancel culture comes from. You're canceling people because you feel like they're being insensitive, but this entire world is extremely, or no, the other way around, however it is. But I can't even remember how it is. But, like, people are being very sensitive, but everyone is very insensitive, and they act sensitive to get attention. And that's one of the things where part of cancel culture comes from.
I feel like people have this cancel culture for power and control. Because if you have control of your own life, if you had the ability to take care of your own life and look within and work on you, because nobody is perfect, if you took as much time that you focus on other people's relationships to mend your relationships and actually have a life, then you would realize that it's not that serious, that we need to mind our own businesses. Because the more you mind somebody else's businesses, the more that – huh?
People are miserable, and they don't want to mind their businesses.
Yeah.
They're miserable.
And they wanna point out other people's flaws, or, you know, highlight how people are acting and say, oh, look at them, that this is horrible, because they're hiding and they're ashamed and they're dealing with their own internal demons that they have to flesh out. You can't do this, and it trickles down to the kids, and the youth are seeing this. And that's where the bullying comes from. That's where the extended bullying is coming from. That's where don't talk to this person, don't do this, don't acknowledge this person, cancel this person, they're nothing. How are we able to say what is what and who is who? Like, we should not be determining that. And that's what's dividing us. And divided we fall, united we stand. And people are forgetting that. We have to band together. We have to help each other out, because if T.I. is feeling that way, how can I help T.I. for him to fully understand why he's feeling the way he's feeling and help him and help his family? How can we help each other out? How can we get back to Wakanda?
The other thing that he could have done that I thought was very important is keep it to himself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, if you're doing this and your daughter is doing this, don't advertise it. Don't tell people, because
right. The
first thing that comes to my mind is that you don't trust her and you think she's out there doing all sorts of things. It sort of kind of makes her look worse than if somebody found out that she was having a relationship with somebody.
Yeah.
And it was a boyfriend. It was,
mm-hmm.
it was, for all intentions and purposes, a healthy relationship.
Right.
Do y'all remember me? When you all were children, you all used to put your fingers in your ears and talk about, la, 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 I don't hear you, I don't hear you. Because I was saying I'd rather you hear it from me than on the street. And that was one of the strengths growing up, was I had a mother in particular, parents in general, but a mother in general, that I could go to and ask her any question I wanted. And I felt free to do that. And I had a lot of questions growing up. And when I would come and talk to her, she would talk to me, and I knew that her answer was in my best interest. Look, the bottom line is that we tell our children, don't do this, don't do that, don't. But our music is full of it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They see us laughing. As adults, the children see us laughing, and they know that
yeah.
we enjoy physical engagement, particularly with people that we love. So why are we telling them it's the worst thing? Tell them the truth.
Exactly. Exactly.
It is the
because
most sacred act.
Yeah.
It is a sacred act. It is the one time that a man and a woman is God. And it becomes
mm-hmm.
very important as it relates to the relationship. Two people coming together as one in rapture. That's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Don't avoid it. Don't escape it. But just know that the end result of that act brings forward someone you might not be old enough to be able to handle.
Mm-hmm.
And just know that.
Or something that you can't give back.
Well, that's true, too. And that not only goes as it relates to a child, that goes to disease.
I wasn't talking about a child. I was talking about diseases.
Absolutely. But we have to be honest and open and tell children, when you come of age and you are responsible enough to be able to accept what the outcome might be,
mm-hmm.
that's when you engage on that type of level. So the truth, telling our children the truth, is the cornerstone. But when you're in a Christian, Judaic, Islamic concept, where the Abrahamic religions tell you that the original sin was on your parents for engaging in that physical act, and that the reason for baptism is to clean that baby from the sins of the parents, and when the original sin was started by a woman, encouraged by a snake, what else is the psychological dimensions of your feelings towards this act? If it's your original sin, how can you have any healthy thought process of the act itself?
So they didn't want you to know you were God.
That's a frightening thing. It's a frightening thing.
But this is where we have to have these sort of conversations, because guess what? Not talking about it is not chasing it away. They're going to learn about it. They're going to see it. They're going to hear about it. You know, so we got to talk about it. And you rather talk about it with the family than for them to hear these myths and these, you know, these sort of situations that are not true. And then, you know, it's like you could have avoided all of that.
The horse might have already left the stable.
Yeah.
And you know, the other interesting thing is that if a young lady is athletically inclined,
Yeah.
Her hymen isn't always in shape. Even,
that's why people are getting
shape,
too.
Yeah, even as it relates to just daily activities. I mean, sports in particular, because you're always stretching and moving and doing things. But in general, nobody guarantees, that the hymen itself comes in different varieties of durability. Some are thinner than others. So there's a whole bunch of other stuff that I think people got to get into their heads and figure out why are they doing what they're doing. Because it may not be what we think.
They also said that you can engage in the activity and still have an impact as well. So
that's possible too.
But I don't think he was just doing it to scare her. Like, he might have known this, but she was a 16-year-old. She didn't know that if you do this, you could do that, and it could happen. I think he was just trying to scare her because she didn't do it. He feared every time they went to the doctor that he was going to be able to know, you know.
Yeah, but we're all adults here. You know there are other ways that you can satisfy yourself. So what, you know.
She wasn't an adult, though. She was 16.
No, I'm saying we as adults.
Oh.
We know that there are many other ways. You can ensure that no penetration occurs from the front.
But there's a whole bunch of other orifices
that people can get engaged in. Okay, so, you know, we all have to.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm not listening.
Yeah. That's all right. But you all know what I'm talking about. And
yeah,
I think that we all have to be very clear, and I just wonder why we even had to find out about this.
Yeah,
I agree with that. He should have kept that to himself.
Yeah, first of all, it's a family matter. You should have kept it that way.
Right.
Because the first thing that comes to my mind is that there's a reason why you don't trust your daughter.
I think he was just trying to scare her.
Yeah, but you know something? That don't work. Not in this generation. Particularly children of his.
Yeah.
So look at her mother.
No, that's a different mother. She has a
Tiny is not her mother.
Okay.
But she's a good child from what, you know, is being portrayed. Like she seems like she has a good head on her shoulders.
It appears to me that somebody been
her.
Well, it seemed like somebody's been doing something outside of the situation, and I just think that
she
we
has
all
a daughter
have to
too.
Be examples.
He's not the only. She has a daughter too.
Yeah. Well, that's why we all have to be
a little bit older. But they neither one of them. Listen, one of the reasons why they allegedly broke up was because she was supposed to allegedly be having an affair with Floyd Mayweather.
Okay.
So she's not that innocent. And that could be another fear that he has.
Well, that could be, but I think we all need to do some self-searching. Because sounds to me like there's a whole bunch of stuff going on that we don't know about.
Right. They got like 75 kids.
Okay. Now I think we're touching on some of the deeper issues here.
Okay.
I think we just touching on other issues here that we really need to look at real close.
So let us regroup. Let's play a song, and then we'll come back, and we will talk about one of my favorite topics, and which a topic that makes me really sad, which is Colin Kaepernick. So I'm going to play the song, and we will be right back.
And I will you whether or not he could play. So what ended up happening
And what the most recent? Okay, so one thing that happened is that he settled because he knew he couldn't play if he had a lawsuit out against the NFL. So he ended up settling, didn't give any information out, and this was the beginning of the issues that came about with black people feeling like Colin Kaepernick was doing something wrong. So he settled, which was what the money that he was owed, because they were making it difficult for him to play. This money that he was owed for what went on. So right now he was supposed to do it out. He's always wanted to play. He never said he didn't want to play. He's always wanted to play. He went to do a workout at a facility and ended up not. I may get the little details incorrect, but he was supposed to do the NFL had picked a specific location for him to do a workout and for him to showcase his skills in front of 25 teams. He moved the location 3 hours before it was supposed to happen and ended up having only 8 teams show up to watch him play. And it basically went up to, like people are very upset with him because he did not go to the field. They felt like he was looking for attention because he would not play it the way the NFL wanted him to play. So I am confused as to why he even made an effort, and I'm being sarcastic right now, but I'm confused as to why he even made an effort for a group of people that did not care about him. The only reason people were talking about him was so that they could hashtag that they stood with him. Because I went to every protest, and I don't even go to protests, but everything that I could do, I did. I went, and there was a handful of people. Most of the people that went to the protest outside the NFL building were the people that were the panelists. Like, my son was always there. Tamika Mallory was always there. There were certain people, Kirsten, I forgot his name, but he's in the political field. But nobody cared. People only said that they stood with Kaepernick when they could hashtag it on social media. He gave up his whole career for a group of people that still watch football on Sunday. People were hating on Jay-Z for what they did, but you still watch football, which makes no sense to me. How can you think that Jay-Z is a sellout, but you still watch football? It doesn't make any sense. And now they're trying to cancel Colin Kaepernick and say that he's doing something wrong because he's trying to negotiate with the NFL on better terms. So that's pretty much what I got out of the conversation that was being had.
Wait, but you missed the important part of it. So people were upset because the reason that he changed it, so first of all, he found out the same time that everybody else in America found out that he had a chance to try out, that he had, you know, a chance for people to look at him and scout him. So he didn't even know ahead of time. He found out the same time that everybody else found out. And what they did was when they came to him and they said, you know, you can try out, but there's a clause in here saying that you are not allowed to sue us again.
Sure.
So that's where, like, a lot of people don't fully understand what's going on. They just said, oh, they just hear, like you said, a little caption or a little, you know, blurb of what's going on. But they don't realize that there's so much that goes into it. And, you know, as hard as it may be for Colin Kaepernick, because – you know, when you live for a sport and you love the sport so much, and he was at the top of his game when all of this happened, you know, he didn't foresee that his stance would make such a situation occur within all across America. And so, you know, and he's also young. I think he's less than 30, or he may just be 30. But you know, when we realize that regardless of anything, that people are always going to try to make him out to be the bad guy. And he's an amazing individual for the fact that he's able to stand strong and show his face and talk regardless of how people like talked so bad about him. And it took away his everything, because his sport was his everything. And, you know, for me, I don't get how he feels like specifically, but I understand, because, you know, if you've ever been taken away from something like you, the sort of, you know, career that you've loved for one reason or another, you, there's this feeling of, you know, you always want to go back to it. He's always going to want to play football, but they're never going to allow him to play football the way that he should play football. And I would even dare to say that I would feel nervous of him playing, because his other they could do so many things to him on the field to injure him for the rest of his life. And it's a sad situation that you know, the sport, such a sport, is so monopolized and so, you know, it's so taken advantage of. It's so, like, it's not about the love for the sport. It's not about the love for what you do. It's about the way in which people are able to pull the strings and blackball, quote-unquote blackball, and, you know, power and control. It all goes back to power and control, how these individuals have such power over the fact that this is a talented young brother that spent his whole life and was on at the top of his game when all this happened. And the reason that he didn't get picked was for his political views or for his political stance. So it's like, come on, how is something that's supposed to be purely based on your talent and you're bringing politics into it? And that goes for everything in general, all of the workforces that you go into. And I can speak, you know, from being at the top and understanding and looking around and seeing those individuals that were at my level or a little bit higher, and seeing that these individuals are only there because they've taken somebody else down and they're willing to sell their soul to do that. And it's such a sad situation that you think that, you know, you work so hard and Colin Kaepernick worked so hard to get where he was and to be the amazing person that he is. And this is everything that he gets from it, and all of the slack that people always constantly are going to have something to say about it. And he could do whatever he feels like doing, because this is a young, talented brother that is strong mentally, physically, emotionally, because you have to be for everything that he's gone through. So for me, I applaud Colin Kaepernick for everything, and I encourage him to continue to go for his dreams, but also, you know, sometimes now he should be doing something, not trying to get back into NFL, because the NFL doesn't deserve him. And it's a sad situation, because, you know, these are sports. You grow up and you see kids and they play and you want them to have aspirations to be the best and to go to the NFL. And it's like, you don't even want them to do that, because in the NFL, it's not about the sport. It's about politics. And this is what's coming up from the whole situation, that people really have to realize we have to be having the right conversation. It's not only about having conversations, it's about having the right conversation. And from this sort of conversation, we have to realize that there's so many factors that are going on, and we have to address a lot of what's going on and stop being blinded by, because, you know, I love me some Stephen A. Smith. Like, he's like my number one troll of them all. But when they played the clip of him talking about Colin Kaepernick, I said, first and foremost, you can never catch me talking about another black person trying to bring them down, regardless if I agree with them or not. Because this specific thing, like, he jokes around and you know, he talks about the different teams I've heard him say some controversial things, yeah. But this one in particular is what, like, is what's on my mind, because it's like, what he said, it's not only what he said, it's the fact that he said it And it's like, we already have everybody else against us. If you have nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. He didn't have to do that because they were like, oh, he didn't even wait till, because Monday is usually, Monday to Friday, I think, is his show. He couldn't even wait till Monday to discuss this. He had to put this on his social media. And it's like, come
on. But he
doesn't
get attention. He talks about black people
I mean,
to get attention.
But that's his job. He's not just talking about black people. He talks about the sport and everything. And then I asked hubby, I was like, was he even on a team before? Like, how does he even – why is his word relevant? And it's just because the bigger your mouth, the more you come at people, is the more he's an entertainer, and that's what you have to take him as. I take him as an entertainer. I don't take his word as law. And, you know, but for me, it's just I hate when I see another person of color talking about somebody in such a negative way, in a negative tone. And it's almost like he's happy that this is happening to him as instead of and honestly, Stephen A. Smith could be his father. That's the age difference that there is. So it's like, why would an elder do this to the youth? As opposed to saying, look, let's talk, let me lend you words, even though he doesn't really have a background to be able to lend him words, but just say, let me help you out, let me take you under my wing, let's talk about, instead of saying that, you're saying all these negative things about how he wants the attention and all this stuff, and almost in agreement with the NFL and the way in which they've portrayed and they've done what they did, which is a horrible thing.
And that's all I got to say. I know. I went on a rant a little bit.
but what you're saying is true, and it's really important. I hardly saw any black people supporting him. There were so many conversations about, you know, if this person bought a team and Vivi could spot, like, but we were like, no, people weren't supporting him, and it literally was a fad. And that's one of the reasons why this discussion on cancel culture is important. Because the moment that somebody doesn't do what you want them to do, you feel like you have the right to cancel them and you have the right to talk badly about them. When, you know, this is why I was saying that I'm going to be quoting Charlamagne a lot, because one of the things that he said that I absolutely believe is true is that this generation wouldn't allow Malcolm Little to become Malcolm X. And I think that more relevant, and I feel like you said it, Daddy, this generation wouldn't allow Detroit Red to become Malcolm X, because if Detroit Red was who he was and then wanted to become Malcolm X, this society would have canceled him. This society would not have let him become who he was supposed to be. And it's really unfortunate because people have the right to grow, first of all, and nobody's perfect. And if people make a mistake, if they say something that perhaps they shouldn't say, or if they say it in a way that sounds like it's not good enough, we need to discuss it, and we need to understand what the actual problem is. Even what happened with Kanye West. When he said 400 years, when he said that slavery was a choice, all people heard was Kanye West said slavery was a choice, his wife is Kim Kardashian, blah, blah, blah. I don't think he had sat down with the president at this time. But nobody listened to what he actually said. He did an interview with the president. People had an issue with sound bites. But if you listen to what he said throughout the entire interview, most of the things he said were correct. But because he did it with the president, people had an issue with it. And at the end of all of the things that Kanye West said, the president, Donald Trump, said, oh, but Kanye, aren't you glad to be here? Everything that he said, he was talking about ADHD, he was talking about the school system, he was talking about, I think he was talking about prison reform, he was talking about so many important things that even if you don't want Kanye West to talk about, we need to talk about it, and we're not talking about it. Nobody listened to the rest of the interview. The people that I recommended to listen to were like, oh, thank you so much for actually making me listen to the interview, because majority of what he said was correct. But because, you know, and this is one of the things that Killer Mike said about Candace Owens at the Revolt Summit. He said, don't hate the truth because you don't like the person that's saying it. There's a lot of things, even at that Revolt Summit, Candace Owens, maybe not you, Candace, the other one, may not be the person that we look for to be a representation of society. However, 90% of the things that she says are true. We may not like her because she supports the president because of this reason, because a lot of black people don't like the fact that her fiance, I don't know if they got married, is white. A lot of people have an issue with that, but the majority of the things that she says is true. And we can't dislike what people say just because we don't like the people that are saying it. You can take it and incorporate it into your life, and that's one of the problems with cancel culture. You're dismissing the entire element of what people are saying because you don't like the soundbite that TMZ or the Shade Room or the neighborhood talk. You don't like the title, but you read the article because there's so many articles that I read that I'm like, oh my God, what in the world? And then I read the article and I'm like, oh, I get it. Like the one that I just read about Kanye West where he said he was going to change his name to like billionaire something, billionaire Christian entrepreneur Kanye West. He said he was legally going to change his name to that. That sounds crazy. But if you read the actual article, you realize that he may or may not actually mean it, but there was a lot more to the context of what he was saying than just Kanye West was going to change his name to Christian billionaire entrepreneur Kanye West. It was a lot more, and we are not being intellectual. We're not reading. We're not understanding the actual thoughts. We're reading snippets. One line. It may even be three words. We're reading it, and we're basing our judgment of the world on three lines. And nobody's actually paying attention to what's actually going on.
It's all amazing. Take the best and leave the rest. You know, what's interesting about Colin Kaepernick, and I guess this is why it's so important when you know history and when you understand things as they are. And I think we did a show on this in the very beginning of Thoughts in a Black Light, in a Black Room. Talking about what the Star Spangled Banner was.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and its origins of Francis Scott Key, who enslaved Africans and who was sitting in a bar or some type of club watching from a distance the War of 1812. And he took a bar melody. Dun, 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 dun. That's a bar melody. That's what people sing in bars, you know, noted songs. And so he took the melody and he just put words to the melody. And there are four stanzas. We don't sing the last two because of the nature of what they are and what Francis Scott Key was. So when people talk about disrespecting the military, which is, I mean, it has nothing to do with that, but I understand the argument, the game they try to play with your head. But, I mean, if in fact there are many African-American and Native American soldiers in the American military, and if the third stanza was attacking African-Americans, and the fourth stanza was attacking Native Americans, why is that even your national anthem? When you consider the fact that Lift Every Voice and Sing was also up in the competition for national anthem. Because this ain't been national anthem for too long. So If we understand the history, and if we understand what Colin Kaepernick did, Colin Kaepernick was making a statement about disregarding and disrespecting and the amount of murders on African American peoples in America. He was making a statement. He wasn't disrespecting anybody. But we all know this. We all know this. And now on a personal level, I'm glad he's not playing football. I know that he wants to play football. I know he don't feel the way I feel. But I want him to maintain his sanity all of his life. And many football players start losing their mind because of the nature of the brutality of the game. But I do realize and respect the fact that he enjoys football. That's his thing. But it's very violent.
It is, and dangerous.
And it causes many brain injuries and brain maladjustments. So going back to the point, though, I think that we're in a society that is a cancel society. I think when you watch the television shows, when you look at the competition shows of the singing and the dancing and all of the others, that's a cancel. Every week somebody gets canceled off that show. That's a cancel show. And it gets down to the last two, and somebody gets canceled there too. The competitions, the pageants. When you're looking at when you watch some of the shows where we're watching our sisters and brothers conduct themselves, housewives show. Okay, I know people watch that show. Okay, but the bottom line, that's a cancel mentality. When people, I saw so much cancellation, I thought the TV was going to shut off one time. The things that they say to each other, they cancel out their humanity when they talk to each other like that. So when you're in a society like Western civilization that's based in insecurity and inferiority, cancel becomes a psychological ploy that helps you get through your day.
Ooh, that's bad.
The other day, Barack Obama, or last week, he was talking specifically to Democrats. But he was talking about how what we do on the internet and what we do with each other, like if somebody comes on and mispronounces a word or misspells a word, all of a sudden you woke because you gonna come on and tell them about themselves. You know more than them. But what he said, not only is that not activism, that's not progress. For you to have to put someone else down to make yourself feel better, that's not progress. Mm-hmm. That's regress.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to Colin Kaepernick in this generation happened to Muhammad Ali in my generation.
Yep.
They took him at the height of his game. And they were trying to promote blacks going into the Vietnam War. And they felt that Muhammad Ali not going into the military was a negative message to prospective black soldiers. So to get their way, they punished him. They took his belt from him. And they put him through the same challenges. They did the same thing, and you don't even have to go to sports. You could go to someone by the name of Paul Robeson. They did the same thing to Paul Robeson. Great actor, singer, lawyer, all-American football player, basketball player, baseball player. And when you can inspire your people, if you are of African descent, if you can inspire your people, you have a target on your back. And I would hope that Colin Kaepernick knew this was going to be the outcome when he did what he did. I hope he didn't think people were going to appreciate it.
What about his own people?
And when you talk about Malcolm, remember who assassinated Malcolm.
Right.
When you talk about Malcolm, remember how many... See, right now they glorify him. He's larger than life now. But don't forget, black people plotted against Martin Luther King Jr. too. And earlier, I think that Colin Kaepernick is going to become whoever he was meant to be, just as Detroit Red became Malcolm X.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm X became Elhaj Malik El Shabazz. We have always had those that cancel us out. Always. There have always been peoples of African descent that the dominant culture goes to negate another brother or sister. They're there. They'll always be there. But those individuals that want to raise the people to another level of consciousness, you just have to understand you're going to become a target. Don't look for no justice. You ain't going to get it. And you just have to understand this is what made America great, if you want to say it like that. And when you look at what's happening around the world, this is only a natural occurrence of the end of Western civilization. This is the end. It's over now. And they know that. And it's only a matter of time now before we better get ourselves together. And to all those that want to put down a Colin Kaepernick, all those that, you know, I don't even speak out against Candace Owens. You never hear me talk against a black person. I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I may disagree, but I just don't talk against them.
Yeah.
And I don't talk against them not because I agree with them, but for strategic reasons. And we're just in a civilization that is yipping and yapping and just chasing each other, and in so doing, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. And I just want to send my regards and my respect to Colin Kaepernick for all that he's doing. I want to recognize that there are things that I've heard Kanye West say that make a lot of sense. I've heard things that Candace Owens has said that make a lot of sense. And that's what I mean when I say take the best and leave the rest. Don't throw the baby out with the bathtub.
Right.
You got to take the best and leave the rest. If somebody says something that makes sense, that you can apply, that can make you a better person, don't turn it away just because you don't like that person.
Yep, that's what Kevin Mike said.
But this is where we are. We're all tribes. We're on different teams now.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that I can say to the younger people is don't get caught up in the mistakes of the elders, because there's a new day, and this is your day. And you can disagree all you want to, but you don't have to be disagreeable. You can be united and not be unified. You can I think different thoughts are very healthy. There's parts of me that's very Republican. particularly when it comes to budget. But the Republicans aren't honest. The Republicans and the Democrats are the same exact thing. They're just two sides of the same coin. Republicans don't believe what they believe. Democrats don't believe what they believe. One is a fox and one is a wolf. They both belong to the dog family. Malcolm taught us that. So I don't get caught up. But there are some things that Republicans say that I agree.
Yeah.
And there's things that I hear the Democrats say that I agree with. There are things that libertarians say that I agree with. There's a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
I take the best and leave the rest.
Yeah.
But my bottom line is that I believe in an African form of democratic governance. Not European. They have no idea. In fact, when the Greek nation developed their democratic system, 85% of the civilization was enslaved. When they were talking about freedom for all, they were talking about rich people. They weren't talking about the Greek people, nor the Romans. None of them understood that. So for me, you know, Colin, do your thing, brother. You do you. And you keep doing what you're doing. And whatever you want to do, you go ahead and do. You know, you want to go and do your own tryout, do your own tryout. You know, this is where we have to be with our people right now.
Yeah.
Stop being so judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
Accept people for who they are, where they come from. Judge people by the content of their character and not by the isms that we're all tripping over.
Exactly.
And I think we also need to stop caring.
But see, we don't really care.
Yeah, that's true.
See, you know, I don't think we really care. I think that it comes out as some form of caring, but really what it is great insecurity and inferiority to who you are as a person.
Yeah.
Because if you got your A game together and if you're doing your thing, then you would understand certain principles of what's going to move you ahead. And what moves me ahead is if you rise, I rise. And if I rise, I'm going to make sure you rise.
Mm.
We all can't be the sun, you know. Moon don't have no shine. Moon has light from sunshine. And nature has it that I'm not going to be the sun every day.
Mm-hmm.
But if the day that I am the sun, I shine on someone else. And the next day, I'm not the sun, but I'm the moon. Maybe that moon that became the sun might shine on me, remembering what I had done for them when I was the sun. And if that be true, then the sun will always shine and the moon will always have light and nature will have its course.
Mm. And that is like when Jajena talked about the chief, the don, and the bishop. Everybody has a job, a role to play.
That's it. Stay in your lane.
Not everybody's
stay in your
be a
lane.
Chief.
No. And everybody not equipped to be a chief. Not everybody's equipped to be a bishop. Everybody ain't equipped to be a bus driver or a lawyer. Everybody's not equipped to serve food to people. They don't all have what it takes to work in Macy's.
Ooh.
Everybody's job is important. Everybody's place is important. And that's what African democracy tells us. Everybody has a role on the planet. And, you know, fulfill your divine destiny. Get up out of people's business.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, man. How do you have time to be in everybody's business?
I
wish there were more
know.
Hours in the day.
Right.
I got so much work I'm doing. I wish there were more hours in the day, more days in a week. You know, my bottom line is I don't understand how people can be in so many other people's business. You know other people better than you know yourself.
Mm. Well,
so.
Well, I think I got something perfect to end with what you said. I think I got the perfect song. I was gonna play something else, but what you said made me want to play something different. So I'm changing it up.
I send my regards to my brother Colin Kaepernick and to Sasha Kamenei and to Conde K. Smith and to all the younger generation that's out here doing your thing. I send my regards,
that's
my
right.
love and respect, and I understand what it is that you're doing and trying to do, and to all the younger generation, I see you and I understand, and I appreciate the fact that you're trying to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Failing
there
is
we go.
When you don't achieve your goal. Failing is when you don't try.
Mm.
You can never fail when you're trying.
And that is how you end the show.
I done. OTAP family.
OTAP family. See you in 2 weeks. Ah!